Good evening, everybody. Who's here for the first time tonight? Anybody? Welcome, welcome, welcome. I have a distinct feeling I've seen you all before, but anyway. Well, bless God. I was busy speaking to you on understanding curses. Where's Marina? Is she here? She bunking? Oh. Can you call her for me, please? She's outside. Oh. All right, when she comes, bring it to me. Many, 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 many years ago, when God just started using me to pray for people, I had a lot of strange and supernatural experiences, which back in the day, I didn't necessarily understand. But that was just part of how God taught me how the stuff works. You know, there's a scripture in the Bible that says, you do not need anyone to teach you, for the Holy Spirit will be your teacher. And, you know, in my life I can testify that that is true, because I do believe my only teacher has really been the Holy Spirit. And I can also say to you that a lot of the things that God taught me over the years, you really don't find in books. One thing that I have noticed, there's a lot of people in this world that like to read books. And because they've got book knowledge, they have this perception that they seem to know and understand a lot of things. But reading something in a book and experiencing it firsthand is just not the same thing. And over the years, many times I've had some of these people that have read a lot of books come and try and tell me that, oh, it's not like this, and it's not like that, and it's not like that, and you should do it this way and that way. And then I just step by and I say, do it. And you know, they can't, because the only book that is worth reading is truly the Word of God. The Word of God is what's going to prepare you for what God wants to do in your life. The Word of God is what's going to teach you what God wants you to do and how God wants you to do it. I had a strange experience. Back in the day, I bought a painting. There was a time when I was still living with my parents, and these guys came past and they were selling paintings. And there was one particular painting that looked quite nice. I said, okay, fine, I will buy that painting. We bought the painting, and the painting was hanging in the house. And when God changed my life around, something really strange happened. Now, for some of you, this might be a little bit on the weird side, but it's nonetheless accurate in accordance with God's word. When was the first time Satan came on the scene in Jesus' life? Who can help me? Immediately after Jesus was baptized in the Holy Spirit, whoop, the devil appeared. Now, you see, there's a lot of Christians that believe it should be the opposite. Like, when I get baptized in the Holy Spirit, the devil must, whoop, disappear. But he tends to rather appear when you get baptized in the Holy Spirit than disappear. Because, you see, before you were baptized in the Holy Spirit, you were not a threat. But once you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, you suddenly become a threat. And the devil needs to start taking you a bit more serious, because now there's a lot of potential that can come through you that can be a big problem in his life. And sometimes I get the feeling the devil is very proactive. He'd rather try and stop you before you get there than wait for you to get there, then try and do something about it. Now, this is what happened in my life. I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, and the power of God came upon me. You can all go and listen to my testimony. It's online. I had a really powerful evening. The power of God was upon me. I was on the floor for about 3 to 4 hours, and the Holy Spirit was ministering to me. And when I got up off the floor, I was a different person. Within about a week, I didn't start speaking in tongues the very same day. Within about a week, I began to speak in tongues. And I didn't speak in tongues with somebody praying over me. I was walking down the street one day, and these words began to come to me the whole time. And then I began to speak, and then I noticed, wow, what is this? Where is this coming from? And then I realized, you back? All right, I'm going to speak to you now. And then I realized that I'd been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now, do you know, in about the same time that I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, a demon began to attack me at night. Some of you might have experienced these things. I don't know if you've ever experienced it, but it's like when you wake up and you're paralyzed, you can't move, you can't speak, you feel sometimes like you can't breathe, and it's like something sits on top of you, something is pressing you down. Anybody experienced that before? All right, almost everybody, yeah. And this thing started happening to me more and more and more. And even me, I was very confused. I thought to myself, now how does this work? Because, you know, I've just been baptized in the Holy Spirit. I'm all excited. I'm happy about life. I'm sharing the gospel with everybody. And now suddenly all this stuff is happening in my life. How does this stuff work? And I prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed, and it did not stop. It wouldn't go away. In fact, I almost got the feeling the more I pray, the worse it got, which didn't really make a lot of sense to me. Funny enough, a couple of times that I had this experience where this thing would pin me down on the bed, I saw a face. I never saw it very clearly. It was like, you know, when you see a spirit, you normally see it like a misty, hazy figure. It's very seldom clearly defined. And I could see this mist. Often I would see this mist on top of me, and there was like a face that would look at me. Anyway, I get involved in ministry. I start praying for people. The power of God does some amazing things. I saw people get delivered from demons and evil spirits. Now take into account, tonight I pray for that oak till 1 o'clock in the morning. God, by the grace of God, cast out his demons. I go to bed and this thing pins me down in the middle of the night. And I'm thinking, what the hell is wrong here? How does this stuff work? And I prayed and prayed and prayed. And how many of you know God can do what he wants, when he wants, how he wants? Because God is sovereign. Now, God did hear my prayer, but God was going to answer my prayer in a really strange way. One particular night, a young man comes to me for prayer. And I begin to pray for him, and has anybody ever heard of a demon called Leviathan? Okay, I want to tell you something, that's like a really revolting piece of rubbish. And it's very, very stubborn. It's actually called the spirit of pride. And the next moment, this demon pops in this oak. And it took me forever to cast this demon out. I would pray against it, command it to go, you know, take authority over it. And I would have this thing like it's coming out, it's coming out, it's coming out. Now, I'm talking about like an hour going. And just as I believed this thing was going to come out now, this thing looked... It looked at the painting. And as it looked at the painting, it was almost as if I could see. It came right back into the guy. It sat there and laughed at me. Okay, fine. We start again. And here we go again. And we're fighting. And I'm commanding this thing to come out. And, you know, reading scriptures and rebuking it and speaking in tongues. And same thing. It's like it's coming. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. And I have it. It's going to come out now. It looks at the painting. And it's like this funny look comes. And it's back. This happened 3 times. Now I'm beginning to ask myself a question. What is going on here? Because something is happening. And then I bound the demon. I said, you be quiet. I don't want to hear nothing from you. You just be quiet. Shut up. I want to speak to this man. And I spoke to the young man and I said to him, listen here, something really strange is going on here. And I don't understand this myself. But I get the feeling that the spirit is leaving, and it's looking at this painting, and every time it looks at the painting, it's like it gets power, and it's right back in. And the guy said, yes, that's what he feels. I said, do you know why this is happening? He says, can't you see it? I said, can't I see what? He says, can't you see it in the painting? I said, no, I don't see nothing. He says, look in the clouds. Now I'm standing there, and I'm looking at the painting, I'm looking in the clouds. I see clouds. I said, okay, I see the clouds. He says, no, look in the clouds. I said to him, look, I don't want to be funny, but I just see clouds. So he gets up and he walks to the clouds. And he puts his one hand like this and the other hand like that, making a little square. And in the square, I see the face of the demon that has been tormenting me for a very long time. You know what? When I saw that, my hair went up. I had goosebumps. My goosebumps had goosebumps. I was like, I couldn't believe what I was seeing. And you know what? I could actually see, you could clearly see that the face had been painted first. And then the clouds had been painted all around this face. Now, you know what? I don't have any contact with the people that I bought the painting from. All I remember is they were young people and they came and said that they were doing this to get themselves through college or something to that effect. My personal opinion is probably somebody in that group was messing with stuff they shouldn't be messing with because it was clear that that had been done on purpose. But you know what? It was so amazing that the exact face that I had seen so many times when this thing pinned me down on the bed was staring at me through this painting. I said to him, I can't believe this. I took the painting off. I took it out. First, I put it down on the floor. I took my whole bottle of olive oil and I poured it all over it. And I said, I bind whatever is on this and I threw it outside. The following day, I actually burnt the painting. Do you know, after that painting was out of my house, first thing that happened is within 5 minutes, the spirit was gone. And it was like whatever was on that painting was giving power to the thing that I was praying against. And God used what happened there to open my eyes and show me where this thing was coming from. Now, I do not expect you all to go home and burn all your paintings. Okay, that's not what I'm trying to advocate here. In my case, there was clearly something planted. You know, probably the devil knew where I was going and probably he brought this thing into my life, but God revealed it in a very special way. And I dealt with it. And I can tell you now that I never, ever, ever had that encounter with that same face again. It was gone. It was destroyed. Now, did I look for problems? No, I didn't. Did I go out and open some door for the devil? No, I didn't. But you know what the Bible does say? My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And it also says, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. To me, that means the devil doesn't always play fair. I don't know about you, but when a lion goes into a herd of buffalo and he tears the little one to pieces, it's probably not fair, but it's the way it is. And that's how the devil operates in our lives. Now, that was a curse that was, in a sense, inhabiting my home. God revealed it to me and God gave me the victory. But I also learned a very, very valuable lesson that no book is going to teach you. You gotta be very careful what you bring into your house. Because if you bring the wrong stuff into your house, it brings a lot of problems into your home. You know, I have read the scripture to you, but let's just quickly read it to you again. It comes from the book of Deuteronomy chapter 7. And it says the following. In verse 25, it says here. The images of their gods you are to burn in the fire. Do not covet the silver or the gold that is on them, and do not take it for yourselves, or you will be ensnared by it, for it is detestable to the Lord your God, and do not bring a detestable thing into your house, or you like it will be set apart for destruction. Now, without realizing it, I do believe that I had brought a detestable thing into my house. And because I brought this detestable thing into my house, destruction came into my home. How many people bring things into their house without realizing exactly what it is that they are bringing? Some things are easy to point out. You know what? You want to bring a Buddha into your house, you're looking for trouble. You bring, what do you call these things? Dream catchers into your house, you're looking for problems. Okay, let me just explain why. The other day I had to go and pray for a family and there was like a whole bunch of dream catchers. And when I mentioned that this is not good, that everybody got all upset with me. But the fact of the matter is, my understanding is these things come from the Red Indians in America. It is created by them to call good spirits and to catch bad spirits that will bring bad dreams, etc., etc. Problem being, they don't worship God, they worship their ancestors. And it's ancestral spirits that come into your house when you have that stuff. So when you bring things in that is clearly linked to a false religion or a false god, you're going to bring a problem into your house. And it says here in verse 26, do not bring a detestable thing into your house, or you like it will be set apart for destruction. You must utterly abhor it. You must utterly detest it, for it is set apart for destruction. Now, like I said to you, sometimes things are easy to point out because we can clearly see and it is defined that this is part of a false religion. And sometimes it's a little bit more difficult. Like in my case, there was nothing to indicate to me when I bought it that it was a problem. But it turned out it was a problem. I want to say something about antiques. You know, a lot of people like antiques. Myself, I also like antiques. I like old things, and I'm mad about history. I love history. But the older an object, the more it was exposed to people. The object in itself is not necessarily cursed, but it can be tainted by the people that it spent its time with. You can have an object that belonged to a person that was full of bitterness and full of anger and full of rage. And this thing was maybe very special and precious to that person. And it's like the essence of what is with that person, that spirit that controls that person, also takes possession of what is close to them. Then you bring that thing into your house and suddenly that same attitude begins to come into your home. And it causes a lot of problems. It causes a lot of destruction. I don't know if any of you have ever seen this, like a very interesting program on DSTV. I forget what it's called. It's like the paranormal or something like that. And on one of the episodes, there was a woman who, if I remember correctly, she was heavy into photography. And so for her birthday, if I remember, her sister bought an antique camera and gave it to her for her birthday because it's something that she would enjoy. Within the first week after this camera had come into her life, all sorts of weird things began to happen in the home. There was, you know, when things go bump in the night and there was like shadowy figures walking around, things were switching on and off by themselves, things were breaking all the time, and it didn't get any better. Eventually, to make a long story short, she began to realize that it had something to do with this camera that was brought into her life. And then there was a number on the camera. So she looked up this number, and then she realized that this number pointed her to the police. She went to the police and she inquired as to what the story is with the camera. And then it came out that this camera was used to document crime scenes. And a lot of dead people were photographed and horrible crime scenes had been photographed by this camera. And the spirit of death had attached itself to the camera. And when she brought the camera into her house, that thing through the camera came into a house, and none of it stopped until they got rid of the camera. The moment they got rid of the camera, it stopped. Now, I'm not saying this to make you go and burn all your antiques. I just think it's prudent that we know that sometimes when we bring things into our life that has a lot of history, and it could be tainted history, it could be bad history, you can bring a lot of really, really bad things into your life. And you know, not everybody is spiritual. A lot of people, when things begin to go wrong, it's like, oh, well, you know what, that's just the way life is. You know, we must just deal with it. If it's spiritual, it's never going to stop until you get rid of the root that is causing it to stop. Can a Christian be affected by a curse? Well, I was affected by that thing, whether I wanted it or not. But when I understood it, I also stood in victory, and God gave me the deliverance and the freedom that I needed. The reason I wanted to speak to you, if you would mind coming here, please. On Sunday at church, God gave me a word for her. And she actually came and spoke to me about it now just before. And I think it's important that we listen to like something that happened to her when she was younger. We sometimes forget the things that happened way back when in our lives, and it's funny how the devil never forgets. You know, he's got a memory like the proverbial elephant. And if the door opened for him and there's power to be gained through something, he's not going to give up on that. Now, as I was going through and praying for people, God gave me a word for her. Actually, not a word. God gave me a vision. And I clearly saw her as a little girl. And I saw that she was in a place. There was a lot of snow. Everything was white. Everything was covered. And I saw her mother taking her to somebody that was like a witch doctor. And I said, you know what? I don't know her history very well. But I said to her, I see this. And God says to me, through this, this and this and this and this was exposed into your life. And, you know, there's big problems. Now, she came and shared something interesting with me. Just tell them what you remember from that day.
I was like 14, 15 years old. And my mother say, okay, let's go with me. We're going to my auntie house. We have the woman that he's going to say future. I said, okay, I'm going. I went with my mother. The lady went to anoint the house, but with the holy water. Anoint the house. And then the lady sat and said, okay, now we're going to pray. I said, okay. We sit like this in the front. Then my auntie was manifesting. And watch my mother say, oh, you have big demon with the wombs like this big one. Yeah, but it was scary. I don't sleep for two nights. And then my auntie screaming and performing like we have, yeah. Screaming and performing. And I say, we have demons. I don't have that time. I don't have demons. Thank you, Lord.
That's what you thought.
Yeah. But that time the demons say, I don't have. And then when that woman, he made deliverance to my auntie, he gave the coconut, fresh coconut to eat and drink lots of water. And my auntie eat coconut and drink water and vomiting and drink water and eat
coconut.
But yeah, since that day, I was very, I have fear for everything. When I was on the floor on Sunday, my body all paralyzed. I have fear. I call Rian and I say, Rian, I have fear all over my body. I have like paralyzed with fear. And then you pray for me. Since Sunday, I don't have fear. It's like gone. I feel better. Everything is good.
Thank you. What I do find interesting about what she said, the lady that she was taken to when she was younger, so-called prayed, but then she made them eat coconut and drink water. Now, how many of you know that's not the way God works? And it's not the way God works. And one thing is clear, the woman that was ministering to them was not ministering in the power of the Holy Spirit. She was ministering in the power of a spirit, probably a familiar spirit, a spirit of the occult, which can also give all sorts of manifestations and cause all sorts of things to happen. You must understand something. People wouldn't go to witch doctors if nothing happened. A lot of things do happen for people, and that's why people go there. But the problem is, it doesn't take away your problems. It actually changes your problem around, but it now has more power in the new area where it is than it had before. Now, she shared with me on Sunday that she has had fear her whole life. And I know that we have prayed for her before, but probably God wanted the root to be exposed so that that could be dealt with. And because that was dealt with on Sunday, the thing, the big thing, actually released her and came out of her life. Now, here's the thing. I've known her for a number of years. She's been part of my ministry team for probably 5, 6, 7 years. She's spirit-filled. She goes with me and we go and minister to people. We go to other churches. But what happened when she was young was still attached to her life, and it will be attached until it is dealt with. The Bible says a curse without a cause shall not come to light. The problem is many of us at some point in time in our life has given place to the curse to come. And there's no such thing as just because I'm a child of God, just because I'm a Christian, it's gone. It will not go anywhere until you deal with it. Remember what I shared with you. I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, and that thing had been in my house for a long time, and only now and then did it give me a problem. When I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, it suddenly escalated and it got extremely bad. There was times where 2-3 times a night I would be pinned down by this thing. Every single night of the week. And it didn't matter how much I prayed, how much I rebuked the devil, how many times I anointed my house. I tell you what, the walls were dripping with oil because I was like, get out of my house in Jesus' name. You don't have the right to come here. And tonight the thing comes and sits on top of me again. Why? Because it had place. It was in my house. I can't kick the thief out if the thief is sitting on top of that thing and that thing gives him the place in the house. Then you got to get rid of what is calling him to come. I prayed and prayed and prayed and asked God to show me. God did show me. So if your question is, yeah, but Rian, what do you do if it's something that you can't identify? You do what I did. You pray and pray and pray, and God will show you what it is. A woman came to us the one day. I was talking about these things. And I happened to speak about rings. And I know I have spoken about it, but let's just touch on that again. You do not pass on rings. It's not a good idea. Because a ring is something very, very personal to the individual. And if there is spiritual rubbish in somebody's life, it will often transfer through the ring. Now, can you interrupt me? Yeah. Well, you're probably going to anyway, so.
Yes, no, when you say that, when you bring objects into your life.
Yes. Yes.
This thing is burning my neck like hell now. Right now.
Who gave it to you? Come here. I know your brother is full of anger, he's full of bitterness, he's full of rage, and he fights for everything. So probably that's a problem. And you say, while I'm talking now, it's burning your neck. Okay. Okay. Raise your hands. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, I take authority over the spirit that came upon this man. No, we're not going to fight. Stop it. In the name of Jesus. Just put him down. It's okay. We're not going to fight. Put him down. Put him down. Let's leave him. Let's leave him. I command you to release this man. In Jesus' name, you are a fighting spirit, you are filled with rage and anger, and you torment, but you're going to come out of him now. In Jesus' mighty name, release him and go. Now, the Lord rebukes you, Satan. Get out of him. Get out of his life. In Jesus' name. You will not go home with him. He goes home alone. You go to the pit of hell. Release him and go. In the mighty name of Jesus, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Loose him. Go. Well, I was speaking about rings. That's not a ring, that's a chain. But it's a chain that was worn by somebody else. The thing is, why do you think God told the Israelites when they were in the promised land, don't take the silver or the gold that belonged to these people. Burn it. Because whether you like it or not, demonic things can attach themselves to the silver and the gold that people wear. If you wear it every day, they attach themselves to it. If you now go and you wear something that somebody else wore, whatever was on them sits on you. And you begin to become like that person. If that person had a serious temper, suddenly your temper just gets out of control. If that person was a total womanizer, suddenly you like, your eyes are just everywhere. It If the woman was a total gossip, suddenly you gossip for everything. I'm just trying to give you an idea of how this stuff works. But so now we're busy with a series, and I was speaking about rings and how things can sometimes transfer through rings. True story. This woman comes up to me. She says to me, listen, I was listening to what you had to say, and this ring comes from so and so, and I was wondering whether there was any problem with this ring. And while she's holding her finger out like that, the ring jumps off her finger. It jumps towards me. I took one look at that. I said, I think God just answered you. She was like, oh, I'm not touching it. I said, I don't blame you. Sometimes God has a sense of humor, and sometimes God allows these things to happen for us to understand that this is how these things work. One of the things people like to pass on that become antiques is jewelry. And I think the devil especially likes jewelry because people don't really like to get rid of jewelry because it's like it's worth money and it's got sentimental value. Well, what value do you place on your peace? What value do you place on your health? I went to pray for a woman once. She was bedridden. She had, I can't even tell you how many sicknesses and diseases and stuff she had. And she had been for treatments and she had been to specialists. She had maxed out their medical aid. Nothing ever worked. So the husband asked me to come and pray for her. So I go there to the house. I sit there. I have a bit of a chat with the woman. And I can see she's not in a very good place. She's very poorly. And so I asked her a question. Were you always like this? No, she wasn't always like this. I said, okay, roughly how long ago did this kind of happen? Let's say, for example, 3 or 4 years ago. I said, okay, fine. I want you to think carefully for me. What happened? Was there anything distinct that happened in that time frame that could be attributed to what's happening here? She says, my mother passed away. I said, okay. And I happened to see she was wearing quite a lot of rings. I said, can I ask you a question? Is any of the rings that you're wearing right now what you inherited from your mother? She says, this one and this one and this one. I said, okay, so you're wearing your mother's jewelry. I said, tell me about your mother. She was a good woman, blah, blah, this, that. I said, did she by any chance have any of the symptoms that you have right now? Now that you mention it, she had all of them. I said, this is what's going on here. Everything that was with your mother through the rings that you are wearing has transferred onto you. But my mother was a good woman. I said, I never questioned your mother's integrity. I never said that your mother was a bad person, but it's transferred. It's silver and gold. And the enemy has a way of attaching himself to these things. So I said to her, take it off. Guess what? The rings won't come off. Now, every woman knows, if you really want to, you can take your rings off, right? She'd been able to take those rings off every day. But this day, because we're now talking about this, and I'm telling her that it's coming from that, those rings will not come off her fingers. I said, fine. Then what we're going to do is we're going to pray, and we're going to come against whatever is sitting there. We're going to have this war, because Jesus already gave us the victory. And whatever doesn't want to let them go, will have to let them go. We had to fight. I started praying for her. The spirits in her began to charge up, like what happened to this man. And you know what? Eventually, by the grace of God, they were dealt with and the rings just slipped off. And she asked me, what must she do? Now, this is often the question. What do you do with these things? Yes, my honest, sincere opinion. If the Bible says burn it, burn it. Take it to a jeweler, give it to them. If you want to have something different made, make something different. Because the moment it's melted, it doesn't have the shape. Whatever was sitting on it is gone. Go and have a nice cross made, or go and have something else made if you really want to keep it. Or otherwise, just sow that money into the kingdom of God, or bless somebody else with it, or whatever. Don't give the ring away because you're passing on the problem. But get rid of it. It's not worth the problems that it's going to bring into your life. You know, a lot of people go to a pawn shop to buy a ring or a watch or whatever the case might be, my friend, please. 90% of the stuff there is stolen. Somebody else has already said these words. Nobody that wears my jewelry will ever have peace, will ever have luck, will ever have prosperity. They're all going to suffer. May they have piles, you know. Here you go. Check my new ring. You're looking for trouble. Don't buy secondhand jewelry. It's not a good idea. And if you plan on getting married to your girlfriend, buy her her own ring. Don't give her your granny's ring. Don't give her your mother's ring. Give her one that belongs to her. Amen? You feeling better? You feeling... Did you expect that to happen? But say this in the mic.
The minute that you just said, when you sometimes bring things into your life, you ask from people, they got personal, the chain is stuck, like money, money, money. But this is funny. But the thing is, I never use this thing. I've been there, this thing has been in the house for a long time. And today, something told me to put this thing. And I came to church because same thing like happening, I don't know if you remember in Gedolt with the ring from my other sister there when she passed away.
Wow. Interesting. He wasn't wearing it and then he had this thing. He must wear it tonight. Probably God wanted his eyes to open and for him to let it go. Yes. Yes. Okay, that's an interesting question. If she had just kept the ring somewhere in a box, would it still have had an effect? Where's the Sandrinia? Please come here. I want you to come and talk about what happened to you. This is going to give you your answer. All right. Just share with them what... No, no, you need to speak into the mic, otherwise we can't record.
Okay. Hi, everyone. In response to your question... I inherited some jewelry from my grandfather. He passed away. And I didn't wear any of the jewelry. Some of the things were coins and all of that. Had it in a little box put away. And it's been there for a very long time. And there were some funny things happening in the house and we didn't really know what was going on. And then all of a sudden, I developed really bad diabetes, like from one day to the next. It was the sugar levels were 23. And I only found this out because I went to do a routine checkup at the doctor. And he said to me, my goodness, do you realize that you're diabetic? And I'm like, no, I'm not diabetic. There must be something wrong. He says, no, you like really bad. I need to put you on insulin. So I went to do more tests and he says, come in. I need to see you urgently before you go into a coma. Then on the next day, both myself and my husband, we were really, really sick at home. We couldn't get out of bed. I was vomiting. It was really, really bad. And each time that my husband, was walking towards where the jewelry was, I would go ballistic. So we called Rian and he came to pray for us. Things were sorted out, and God showed us where the problem came from. We got rid of the jewelry that was sitting in this little box. In 3 days, I had no diabetes. And I've got a report of what happened. It went from 23 to totally stabilized. And this only happened when I got rid of the jewelry that, or the gold that I inherited from my grandfather that passed away. And he died from diabetes.
Just wait here. Does that answer your question? But now I wanna add something. Paulo is here, he's my witness. I went to go and pray for them because now she's very sick. She can't even get out of bed. You've been in bed for a couple of days. Couldn't get out of bed. And so I said to Paulo, I started praying and the demon begins to manifest. Now the thing doesn't want to go. Now, you must understand, demons don't just want to go. They normally, they feel the need to give you a hard time because that's just what they called for. They called to give you a hard time. But I'm starting to get the feeling that this thing is just not going to leave. So I said to Paulo, where is all this jewelry that you were talking about? No, it's still in the cupboard. I said, now come, we got to get the stuff out of here because, you know, give the devil no place. If he still has place, we got to take away the place. I said, let's take it outside. I'm going to go and anoint it, pray over it, bind whatever's there, and then we come and pray. Yeah. She didn't know what we were doing. He first went and got the jewelry, and then we went and faffed here and there and what. So it was about half an hour after we left the room that now we've got the stuff outside there by his garage. I take it out and I'm having a look at all of these things, and then I took the oil, I poured it over it, and I began to pray. The moment, and she can't see where we are. The moment I put my hands on that jewelry and I begin to pray, she begins to scream in the room. I'm telling you, I'm so sorry we didn't have a camera there that day to record everything that happened, because it's like mind-blowing. The moment we began to pray over that stuff, the demon in her began to scream. So I said to him, we must be on the right track here, because listen to that. I finished, we prayed over everything and we anointed it. We asked God for whatever is there to be bound. I went there, and within minutes, it came out of her. Do you remember that?
Yes, I remember.
And after we got rid of all the jewelry and everything, things came right in your life.
Yeah, absolutely.
Your health came back.
I don't have diabetes.
Amen. Give the Lord a big hand, please. Thank you. So yes, it is, yes. Is it? Well, what are you wearing?
No, I'm wearing nothing.
You're wearing nothing. Okay. She says, while we're busy talking about this, she's starting to go all funny and weird. It's a bit like him with the stuff burning him. Probably some of the things that you have. I'm going to pray for you now. Okay. We're going to pray for you now. Maybe there's a reason why God wanted us to talk about this stuff today. Let's just put it out there. You have to be very, very careful when it comes to jewelry. Because jewelry is sometimes a doorway that will allow things to come into your life. And remember, every demon is a thief. John chapter 10 verse 10. The thief came for no other reason than to steal and to kill and to destroy. Now, the thief knows, from a Christian point of view, most of us, we're not going to go to fortune tellers. We're not going to go to witch doctors. We're not going to go to spiritists. We're not going to communicate with the dead. He must find other ways to try to attach himself to our lives. And sometimes through those things, he can. His sister Fatima, she's not here today, but one day this hit home very much when I prayed for her. He was saying in Gedult, we prayed, just come and share what happened that day.
With me, no?
Yes, with you.
Well, I had a ring. I used the other chain like this. I used wearing a ring from my other young sister. She passed away. When she passed away, I said the only thing I want from it's the ring it was from her. And I used to wearing that ring all the time. And then in Gedult, I remember you also talk about these things, and you prayed over that ring. Oh, look, as a result, there still.
That was the day that you broke your shoe.
Yeah. That thing, it was a war then. Yeah.
Okay. Now, thank you. When his sister passed away, Fatima went over to Portugal for the funeral. And she never made it to the funeral because they took her to see the body. And when she saw the body, something started happening to her, and she was like all out of it for a while. But when she came back, she brought all her sister's jewelry back. I'll never forget about 3 weeks after she went for the funeral, she came to see me. And when I saw her, I was actually shocked because she looked terrible. Her face was all sunken in, her eyes were black, like she hadn't been sleeping for who knows how long. She looked really, really run down, and she looked sick. She really looked sick. And I remember saying to her, wow, what's happening to you? What's going on? And she told me about her sister dying and this and that and that. And she said to me, She doesn't know what's going on because I'd been praying for her for a long time, and God had helped her to conquer a lot of things, and a lot of sickness and stuff went out of her life. And she says, it looks like everything is coming back. I said to her, no, that's not right. Come, let's go pray. So I march her into my office, and yeah, we begin to pray for her. And of course, some spirit pops there, and it's like, this thing is fighting me. It will not leave. And again, you kind of understand that they're going to fight back, but you know that there is victory. But this thing is just adamant. I'm not leaving. I'm not going. And I'm beginning to think, wow, something here is not right. And then same thing with him. She was wearing a chain that I'd never seen before, and there was a ring on the chain. And I said, what is this ring and chain that you're wearing? And the moment I said that, the demon through her grabbed it, and he said, it's mine. You can't have it. Now, of course, if the demon says he wants it, then we can't let him have it. It has to go. You think we could open her hand? We couldn't open her hand. It took us probably 40 minutes to pry her hand open to get the thing out, praying against it and rebuking it. Eventually, I got it out, and the moment we broke the chain, I had to break it because she wouldn't sit still for me to release it, so I broke it. And eventually we managed to get the ring out. Again, within like a minute or two, the spirit was gone. But as long as the ring was there, it gave him power. All the symptoms that had come back left again as soon as the ring was gone. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not trying to scare you. It's my responsibility to educate you about spiritual things, to teach you the Word of God. Listen again to what the Word of God says here. He says in Deuteronomy chapter 7, he says, the images of their gods you are to burn in the fire. Do not covet the silver or the gold that is on them, and do not take it for yourselves, or you will be ensnared by it. Now, what does the word ensnared mean? It means to be trapped. Certain things in this world is literally a trap. And if you take it, you will fall into that trap. Here's how it happened. When the Israelites went into the promised land, they went into a land that was inhabited by people. The Bible says there were seven nations there, larger and stronger than them. And in Deuteronomy chapter 18, God warns them that these nations do detestable things. And because of these detestable things, they will be destroyed by God. And then he mentions fortune telling, spiritism, witchcraft, sorcery, you know, etc. Bad, bad things that bring a lot of demonic things into your life. Now, the more demonic things in a person's life, the more those things attach themselves to the things the person wears. Why you think God said to the Israelites, when you go into the promised land, the silver and the gold you will not take for yourselves? Because God cares about his children. Why do you tell your son and your daughter when they're small not to play with the fire? Because you do not want them to get burnt. You are protective over them. God is protective over us. God doesn't want us to burn our fingers. Look at what happened to him. The moment we began to speak about these things, he began to feel this thing burning him. That was God. God was saying, this is for you to hear because this is why you're battling right now. And you do battle with your temper, don't you? But you're not a patch on your brother. I mean, I've met him. Oh my goodness. Yeah. Because I believe God knew we were going to talk about this and he wanted that to be here. You see, when you go through this stuff, you can't argue. And this is what I say to you. You know, you can read things in a book, but when you see it with your own two eyes and when you feel it in your skin, nobody can convince you. I've had many people, they come and, oh, Arian, this is rubbish, that's that. I'm not going to argue with you. I've seen these things with my own two eyes. I know how this stuff works. And what I read in the Bible marries with what I see in the real world. And that is enough for me to know that we have to be very, very careful what we allow to come into our lives. Getting back to the lady that we were speaking about earlier on, that was wearing all the stuff that she got after her mother passed away. Eventually, after we had dealt with everything and the rings came off and they got rid of it, I think it was 2 days. She was out of bed and her life was normal again. And all the symptoms that had been coming upon her and controlling her life disappeared like mist before the noonday sun. Because no longer did the spirit that was attaching itself to her have the doorway of the jewelry to attach itself. Amen. I have, on a number of occasions, seen what happens when we pray with people where they are, I'm going to call it familiar objects. 5 minutes left. It's plenty time. A familiar object, this is a familiar object. I'm not saying familial, okay? Familial is to be in the family. Familiar is to be familiar to the person that it came from. I have on a number of occasions have been present where we've prayed for people where familiar objects got burned. I just want to tell you something. It's shocking to sometimes see what happens. I have seen the demons in the people try and get the people to jump in the fire to go and fetch the stuff out. That when we pray for them, we literally have to keep them out because they want to go into the fire to get that thing. Because the demon doesn't want it to burn. But then I've also seen how the moment that thing begins to burn, the spirits begin to scream and vomit and come out of these people. It's actually quite amazing. This is not a popularity contest. I'm not here to give you only good messages to make you feel good. I'm here to teach you the truth. Whether you like it or not, you have to hear it. Because probably like him and this lady, yeah, there's other people, yeah, that there's things affecting your life. You must remember, every demon is a thief. And he's looking for ways to steal from you. And he will be stealing from you in some way. There might be things in your life that you've accepted as, oh, this is just who I am. Oh, this is just how my life is. And that's not what God wants for you. But until you don't get rid of the rubbish, your life also can't be normal again. And probably that means certain things, you have to let them go. Anyway, did anybody learn something tonight? Amen.